Londoners living in gated apartments in the Bow neighborhood received flyers this weekend telling them that soldiers and missiles to ward off airborne terrorist threats would be posted on their roofs during the upcoming Olympic Games. Well, that ought to wake them up. British officials are still evaluating the idea, but judging from the flap that ensued, this could be the first time Londoners have shown a pulse about the July Olympics. As our friend Michael Goldfarb writes in Global Post, it's been a big yawn so far. So, Michael, did the missile news cause a bit of upset?
Oh, yes, especially to those who have gone into the newly gentrified area around Bow. They didn't expect to be the site of the first aircraft batteries placed in London since the Blitz, Robin.
Sure.
Everybody knew that security would be something that needed to be attended to when the games were awarded to London, but gosh, this just takes it to a different level.
But talk about the attitude up till that, because, you know, you write how Londoners have a practiced indifference to things. Mockery is an English trait, but you say that the real reason for some of this indifference that you're feeling about the upcoming Olympics is a connection to terrorism.
The Olympics were awarded to London on the 6th of July, 2005, and we were all incredibly excited. I mean, you know, it's a party coming to your city, and you figure, oh, wow, it's great. And less than 24 hours later, there was a major act of terrorism in the city on the 7th of July, in which 56 people were killed, including the suicide terrorists. And that kind of changed the game a bit, but subsequent attempts to bomb London have been foiled, but the threat is still there.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, you throw in the crash of 2008. Well, the city of London, the financial district, has more than recovered, but other aspects of the economy, just as in America, have not recovered at all. And so you think, we got these games in 2005, but we live in a different historical epoch, and I think that really has changed Londoners' attitudes towards the game.
Well, you mentioned the financial collapse. You write that the London boroughs with the highest rate of unemployment are right adjacent to the Olympic Park, so there's going to be this striking contrast in images that Londoners are well aware of. But just this idea, too, that there's sort of, as you write, the breeze created by the collective shrug of this city's residents could probably be felt in Paris, the city London beat out to have the games. How much of that is outside of those outside events, just the way Londoners look at the world?
Part of the problem is the ticketing problem. There was no special dispensation for Londoners to get tickets. Everybody put in for tickets. Nobody got tickets. Mm-hmm. One couple that I know wanted to go to the synchronized swimming. Don't ask me why. They wanted to go to synchronized swimming. And they got tickets for water polo, and they're very disappointed. The rest of us got nothing. And, you know, we don't have that kind of stake in it. And the other thing is that to finance these games, they have turned them into probably the most commercial games probably since Los Angeles in 1984. When you go to the Olympic Park, you get off public transport, and you have to go through one of the largest shopping centers in Europe to get to the entrance to the Olympic Park, 1.8 million square feet of retail space. Now, you know, shop till you drop, you know, there's a lot of shopping that goes on in London, but it seems to go against the purpose of the Olympics.
But I'm also picking up, there may be shopping in London, but you don't talk about it. You write, relentless corporate branding goes against the cultural grain. There's just this sense of it's just not quite how it's done. Also, you write about the fact that maybe 25,000 people an hour are going to be added to the already packed tubes, they're called, you know, the train system there. And the promise of financial gain hasn't been realized.
You know, you can rent out your apartment £2,000 per bedroom during the course of the Olympics. So my neighbors across the way said, okay, we're going to do this. And so in the winter, they took their children to Goa in India, vacation of a lifetime, put it on a credit card because they figured, well, we'll go back to London and we'll rent out our flat, more than cover the cost of the trip to India. They still haven't rented out the flat. So those sorts of stories multiply as well. However, I will say one really good thing has happened out of this. There is a tributary of the Thames called the River Lee, which runs quite close to where I live. Before the Olympics, it was just a horrible industrial wasteland. Been totally cleaned up, and it will always be there for me to walk along after the Olympics are finished. And for that, I suppose I have to be grateful.
Michael Goldfarb speaking to us from London. There's a link to his Global Post piece about the Olympics at hearnow.org. Michael, thank you as always.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, coming up. So Wisconsin Democrats forced the recall election of Scott Walker, but will they be too divided over who should run against him to win it? That's in 30 seconds. Here and now.